Katie and I, it's a great joy for us to be with you this morning. And if you look up there on the screen, you have a thank you from us for 37 years of faithfulness to us. And that's absolutely incredible. And we are extremely, extremely grateful. You can also say, that guy must be really old up there, if you think. Okay. 37 years. 37 years. And God does incredible things through incredible faithfulness. And we are witnesses to that. We have been blessed in incredible, incredible ways. And we bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at the Chapelle de Fouveau. That's the name of our church, in Marseille, France. We have the joy of serving. And we also have the joy this morning with the six connections, six steps. Folks that we were with 1 month ago, the Cognard family is with us, and Matthew is with us. Some of them were in Marseille with us last month. And then Jeff Fogarty and Alec Hill running around here somewhere are going to be with us in September to help us in our first work mission week on the Bethlehem project. I'll talk about that. But God's bringing people in and out around us, and it's been a great blessing. He continues to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And it's true. Now, Katie and I have an exciting transition going on in our lives. We've become grandparents. So I got a shout out. Yeah. So this is a picture for you from 1992. Okay, that's me, and that's our daughter Emily at Ted Drew's. Okay. See, this is what missions is all about. It's connecting. You say, oh, that guy knows Ted Drew's. Okay, he must know what's going on around here in St. Louis. Yeah. Okay. 1992, and a generation later, we can put the next one up, okay, is Emily up there with our grandson Daniel on my left, and Esther, our second daughter, with grandson Joseph. Okay, Daniel's got 20 months, and Joseph 6, and Emily is ready to give us our first granddaughter in the coming days, so we're very excited about all that, okay? So the rest of the sermon and the pictures are all about the grandkids. If you want to check out after that, you can. Yeah. Well, actually, a generation ago, one of the jokes in our family concerned the question of genes. Yeah. And how they were or were not passed on from one generation to the next. I don't know if you've had any experience with this. I learned about, in our family, what we call generation-skipping genes. Yeah, maybe you're familiar with that. And this is how it works. You know, the kids maybe at some times were really difficult, and the grandkids are just extraordinary. How does that happen? Well, I learned how that happens, okay? It's called generation-skipping genes. All the good stuff in the grandkids come from the grandparents. Well, now I'm a generation down the road, I can appreciate that. Yeah, that works. So generation-skipping genes, yeah. Biblically speaking, generation-skipping is no laughing matter. No laughing matter. Okay? There's no room for generation-skipping for us. As a voice familiar to many of you, a voice that touched Katie and I's lives dramatically, Stanley Shipp used to say, he said, we're only one generation away from falling away. And we have tried to remember to continually pass on to the next generation what we have received. I heard the phrase intergenerational church this morning. Those are words that I connect with right away. So I'm in a good place talking about that. And the psalmist, and we can maybe put the psalm up, He would back Stanley up on that. The importance of passing the torch of faith from one generation to the next is a non-negotiable. And the psalm I'll read for you from Psalm 78. This is Asaph. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Psalm 78. And it continues. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. They would not forget his deeds. They would keep his commands. Well, this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about what we tell the next generation. But before even getting there, I want us to be reminded from this Psalm 78 that we have a choice. Go on the next slide, come back to the verses 3 and 4. We have a choice to hide or to tell the next generation. And the psalmist says, we will not hide. We will not hide the things that we have received from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Are we going to hide what we have? Are we going to hide who we are? Sometimes the temptation is great to do that. I live in a context, I got two guys, out of high school now and into college, but they know all about this sitting right here. In the French school system, the word God, you do not pronounce it legally, you do not pronounce it. You are taught from day one to hide all of that. That's our context. The temptation is great to hide. Not for us. No, we're called to tell. The next generation is watching and waiting, and we're called to tell the next generation all that we have received from the Lord. What exactly is it that we're called to tell and receive? What are we passing on? Everything that we have about God. Keeps it real simple. Everything that we have about God. For example, the verse 8 that follows in Psalm 78 says, watch out. Don't allow them to be like their ancestors, the stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God and whose spirits were not faithful to him. Now we're called to talk and tell the next generation. And in the process of doing so, what happens? Come back to verse 7. Three things. Very simple idea. When we tell the next generation, we're giving them the opportunity to put their trust in the right place. In God. Nothing else. In God. We're giving them the opportunity to not forget and to continually restate and remember all that God has done. And this allows them to have a mission in their lives. Those who trust in God, those who don't forget, are called to keep his commands, to keep and to live out what he has given them. And we have the opportunity, as we pass on to the next generation, to help that next generation to build their house on a rock, to help them to remember every day all that God has done, to help them to keep his commands and walk in his path. And as those who teach the next generation, each one of us, we are getting a reminder every day to do the same. So that Katie and I, and all of you, as we remember to pass along, we are constantly reminded to trust God. Today, us. We are constantly reminded to remember all he's done and constantly reminded to keep his commandments. And so, Psalm 78, verse 5, one more, a commandment to keep. Teach your children. Pass it along. And we've got children of all kinds and grandchildren of all kinds all over the place in Marseille. We're parents to a whole bunch of people and grandparents to some others. All that fits you, teach his ways. Teach his ways. Now, as we teach, what exactly is it that we're passing along? Well, let's jump to another psalm, Psalm 145. Okay. This is awesome. Everything in yellow highlighted reminds us that what we're called to pass along is God. Period. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. They meditate on your wonderful works. They tell the power of your awesome works. They proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness. They joyously sing of your righteousness. So as we talk about God. Okay, thank you, Peggy, reminding us we are the church. We talk about the church, we talk about ourselves. You run around with people that talk about themselves all the time, you say, oh, I'm not really into that. No, we're not talking about the church, we're talking about God. Which means this is the right place for you to be no matter what's happening, because we're here to talk about God. This is the right place to be. And that's the message from the psalm. Talk about God. Everything about him and his and all that he has done and doing. And it's a very, very healthy way for us to live. To talk about him over and over and over again. As we contemplate what all this is about, talking about God, well, one of my favorite texts, text that Katie read this morning, is talking about the God who. And I would like to bring Romans 4 back up on the screen. The God who, from the Apostle Paul. So we'll move forward. Okay. Katie read this text beginning with Abraham, and we're talking about the life of Abraham and how he is the father of all of us in the faith. And the verse 17 and 18 that follows, you can put that up. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This is the word of God to Abraham. And then it says right there, okay, the God who. So a question for you this morning. What God do you truly believe in? Which God? As we talk about God to the next generation, who are we talking about? And I just love what Paul does here for us in Romans chapter 4. He says, Abraham is our father in the sight of God. Abraham believed in the God who. And now we get the definition of who this God is. And there's two things. In France, right, we start with our thumbs, okay? And we count. One, two. We don't do that here very much, but that's why we do it over there. Okay? The God who gives life to the dead, and the God who calls into existence that which does not exist. Now that's just awesome. Death is not the final word in our story. God gives life. The pieces falling apart and there's no way to put them together is not the end of our story. God brings into existence that which does not exist. God brings life to the dead and he calls into existence that which does not exist. That's the God. He's the one that we're worshiping together this morning. He's the one that allows us to get up every day. And Katie and I have been so focused on that verse, she kind of slipped out before she got to read the end of the line. But the end of the line is here. Against all hope, Abraham hoped. When we are walking with the God who raises the dead and who calls into existence that which does not exist, we are living every single day in hope. Every day. We know that he can. No matter what we're facing, do incredible things. Now, a reminder, experiencing the God who raises the dead experiencing resurrection implies what? That you've experienced death. You don't resurrect that which is living. You resurrect that which is dead. And so you've had those experiences of death. And God comes in and he brings back to life. Okay? We have experiences that we have a situation in life and everything's falling apart. And we don't have an answer. We don't know where to go. And God calls into existence that which does not exist. But we've gone through these experiences where everything seems broken. And he's with us and walks with us in all of that. Remember what he has done. Trust him. Keep the commandments. Keep going with him. I was here in January of 2024. That was the last time I was in the neighborhood. That's 20 months ago, more or less. And I was sharing about what God had put in our hands, the Bethlehem Monastery. I'm going to put the picture up. Okay. A future Christian outreach center in Marseille, an opportunity that was absolutely amazing for us. And I left here in January of 2024 and went back to, with our team, sign a purchase agreement on this monastery, just 15 minutes from our home in Marseille, France, where we would create a Christian outreach center. And we sat down with the lawyers to sign it, and the lawyers start chatting back and forth, and there's this and there's that, and I'm sitting there, I'm clueless and all that stuff, okay? And all of a sudden, I'm being told by these guys that this isn't coming together, okay? And everything is falling apart. And in March, I get a contact from the guy who was selling us the monastery, and he says in March of 2024, we're pulling it off the market. It's not happening. Dead. Pieces all over the floor. We were devastated, but not defeated, because we know the God who raises the dead, who brings back to life that which is dead, and who brings into existence that which does not exist. And this project that we believe had been a generation in the making, God had demonstrated and continually demonstrated to us that he'd been preparing it for our glory. I'll just put another picture up a little further along. Okay, way up in the back there, there's a cross up there on the hill. That's the back of this property. That's how big this property is. And that cross can be seen from all over the city of Marseille. It's a reminder to a very ungodly, unbelieving city that he still is there. And it's on the back of that property. And the more we learned and struggled and went through this, the more we learned that God had been preparing this for us before we'd ever even thought about it. We've been praying 7 years over this project, and we learned that God had been preparing it way before that. And that's just another awesome thing. When you think about the things that you're doing and the struggles that you're going through and what you've been praying about, I have a really encouraging thought for you. God's been preparing about that and thinking about that and working on that long before it even started with you. Isn't that something? Okay. So, one name. Maybe there's some sports enthusiasts who know this, but we were not the first Americans to arrive on the Bethlehem scene. There's a guy named Frank McCord. If that name rings a bell, it's because he used to be the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. And now he is the owner of Marseille's professional soccer team. Okay? This is the world that they're running in. And Frank came and said, look at that place. Isn't that a great place for a training center for the Marseille soccer team? And it probably would have been. But God didn't want Frank there doing soccer. He wanted us there doing mission. Okay? And it's incredible, but that's what's going on. That's what God is doing. Okay? He heard our prayers, and as we walked forward with him, the temptation was great when things were difficult to say what? Oh, well, we tried. God invites us further along than that. God was calling us to go into battle for it. And I want to encourage you to think about going into battle for what really matters in your life. There are things that you must go into battle for. You must battle for your marriages and your families, battle for your church, battle for the mission that God has called you to. And you're going to end up, without a doubt, with certain spiritual battle scars, for example, okay? You might not walk out unscathed, but God is with you in the battle. And like Abraham, he will always allow you to hope against all hope. Well, what did we do to go into battle? We declared some days of prayer and fasting in April. And then a little further along, toward the end of April, Katie and I took a week and literally got a little crazy. We took a week, and for 6 days, we took a walk around the Bethlehem one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, we walked around the Bethlehem 7 times in the pouring rain. Yeah. Okay. And that's okay. Wouldn't have been the first time that we've been called fools for Christ. That's not a bad thing to tag along with you. But that's what we did. Okay. In a hope against all hope. And that was the end of April. And in May, the owner gets back in touch with us. And God brings into existence that which does not exist. God brought back to life that which was dead. And we're here now with a completely different story. But it's all his. It's what he has done. Okay? God brought Sarah and Abraham back to life to give them the descendants. He raised the dead, so to speak, and called into existence that which does not exist. And he did the same for us in so many ways along the way. And he used our McKnight family and so many of you individually to make that happen. And we're truly grateful for that. Truly, truly grateful. Raising the dead, bringing into existence that which does not exist. You know what we call that? You know what the word for that is? Miracle. Yeah. That's what God's about. That's what God's about. Okay? We'll never get too far along in our technological advances to lose that word with him. He is a miracle working. And now it is our call to go in and take possession. And you can see that in your lives as well. When God responds and he puts into your hands what he's done, okay, he gives the promised land to the people of Israel. And then after what he's all done, then the mission in a sense starts. We go in and take possession. And God provided all this for us with the Bethlehem. I'll talk more about that in the second hour, and now it's time for us to go in and take possession. And for you, again, I encourage you as you think about what God has done and where he has placed you and what he's put before you, and now it's time to go in and take possession. It's time to go in and get to work. Okay? All that he put in place so we can go in and get to work. And that's what we're doing now. Well, to close this morning with all this, as we're thinking of the great story that we're living with the Bethlehem, the great story is one I want to close with to remind us again as we pass on to the next generation all we've received. Let's go on to the text. Okay? Just a reminder to finish. Paul says, I want to remind you. And we need that reminder, that Psalm 78 that says we're going to trust him. We're going to be reminded of all he's done. We're going to keep his commandments. Here's the reminder. The reminder of the gospel that I preached to you, that you received, and that you were on which you've taken your stand. And by this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached, and otherwise you would have believed in vain. And here it is, very simply. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. God is the God who raises the dead. And we become his children. He calls into existence that which does not exist. This is the fundamental heart of the gospel. And it's so easy to forget that in at least all the Catholic schools that we know in Marseille that have some kind of form of religious teaching, they literally teach up to the death of Jesus and stop there. Literally. Why? Because we can't talk about anything that's what? Miraculous, as if God really actually does exist and something happens. Died, buried, and raised from the dead. That's what God does. Another way to look at it, one more picture, and then we'll close. Go on to 1 John, the next text. Okay. Here's the message again. Same idea. It's not Paul this time, it's John. And what does John say? It's what you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Never talk about that too much. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other, and anyone who does not love remains in death. And then the verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And that's the gospel that we proclaim. We talk about God who sent his only begotten Son. We talk about what Jesus did for you and me. He laid down his life for us. And then we get with it. We get on mission. We walk the talk. We get to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, whatever situation that God is calling you into. And we go. We pray, Katie and I, as God has been blessing us so richly, as we pursue kingdom dreams for him, we pray that God bless you as you pursue your kingdom dreams for him and as you share everything that you have with the next generation around you. We finish with, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.